The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He went in and said to her, "Rejoice, so highly favored, the Lord is with you." She was deeply disturbed by these words and asked herself what this greeting could mean. But the angel said to her, "Mary, do not be afraid. You have won God's favor. Listen, you are to conceive and bear a son, and you must name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "But how can this come about, since I am a virgin?" "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," the angel answered, "and the power of the Most High will cover you with its shadow. And so the child will be holy and will be called Son of God. Know this too, your kinswoman Elizabeth has in her old age herself conceived a son, and she whom people call barren is now in her sixth month. Nothing is impossible to God." "I am the handmaid of the Lord," said Mary. "Let what you have said be done to me." And the angel left her. Gospel of the Lord. Malcolm Muggeridge converted to Catholicism towards the end of his life after walking a long road of agnosticism and skepticism. It's interesting that Christopher Hitchens, who's just died, was, of course, retained his agnosticism and atheism, but was very encouraged by the numbers of Christians who were praying for him. As a priest I used to work with said to someone, when his wife said, "Oh, he never believed," and he said, "Oh, well, he'll be sadder and wiser now in the Lord's presence." Anyway, Malcolm Muggeridge, in his book, Jesus, recalls a working visit to the Holy Land as a writer and broadcaster for a program, and he writes of the extraordinary impact of sitting in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, down in the grotto where the silver star that marks the place that was believed Jesus had been born there. And he spoke of his heart being deeply moved, these were his words, as he watched the silent flow of so many people of different nationalities and sizes and beliefs and systems and whatever it is, the whole group, these coming, and coming to reverence so great a mystery above all mysteries, that we begin with the angel Gabriel's visit that began, as I say, with that in that small village in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, starts in Nazareth, Mary chosen to be the mother of God. And he spoke about what moved him, you see, was their faith. And that this one birth led to so many millions believing. It gave birth, as it were, to the faith that we have. And that moved him enough to bring him to faith. Many other things, of course, on the way as well. And so we are very familiar with that reading from Luke. We hear it so many times, different occasions during the year. And there is always the danger of over-familiarity. We can be so familiar with it, like looking at a photograph that we've had up in our room for so long, we can often fail to see sometimes the treasure that's there in it. So I want us to focus on one bit. Yes. Mary's response to the angel Gabriel, because her yes was her acceptance of God's will. And if it was so, that was the most profound, actually, yes ever spoken in human history, because her yes led to the whole of human history totally changing from beyond Adam and Eve, from Adam and Eve, as it were. And as Matthew traces Jesus back to Abraham, as we heard yesterday, as Luke traces him back to Adam, John takes him right to the beginning. But it's that yes in history through Mary, because it opened up the way to the birth of her son and our Saviour. And what's clear is that Mary, while still young and still that virgin, was chosen by God. And I keep trying to say this Advent, what's coming more and more, this is the action of God in history. This is God at work with his people. And he calls her to be, as it were, the God-bearer, Theotokos, Mother of God, bearer of God, because she accepts that responsibility of bearing her son. And so she is proclaimed by Elizabeth, most blessed of all women. That's why the Hail Mary prayer is actually so dear to us and so important, because it's the words of Scripture. It's the angel Gabriel, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, you're God's favored one. Elizabeth, blessed are you among all women, and the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. That doctrine confirmed to protect the Son. Because if the Son is who he really says he is and claims to be, and we know him to be, she must be Mother of God in that sense. And in a way, it's bringing that prophecy that we had from Samuel to King David, who, of course, was wanting his own way, as so often happens. And he had to change, because he wanted to build, he'd done everything else, had all his battles, settled in his country, he wanted to fix a place for God. But that wasn't to be God's will. That was his son's job, Solomon's job, not David's job. David was actually the father of the line, and that's coming clearly through what the angel is saying. This son of yours will be of the house and David's line, and following that through, because that is what God wants. And what God wants is what Mary was doing, God's will. And her yes to God tells us how God works in human history and in human lives. It was through the life of David and Solomon and those that God spoke. The covenant that God makes with the world, revealed through the preaching of the prophets. How much we've read in Advent of Isaiah, that great prophet, but it's God at work with his people. Through King David, all his descendants, God will bless all generations. Mary picks, of course, that up also in her Magnificat. Then finally, that simple child, born of Mary, God born in human history. It will be through the life, the death, and resurrection of this child that the covenant will reach its final fulfillment. And all of that's because God is acting, and Mary said yes to that. Some of you may recall when we get to the Assumption, I often pick up on the Ark of the Covenant. What David wanted to build was the house for the Ark of the Covenant. But it wasn't to be for David. It was to be his line. But through that line comes the true Son and Mary, that Ark of the Covenant. How it all, you see, hangs together, because it's God at work. We're responding to that work with her yes. And so we then need to say, what is our yes to being part of God's covenant? Because that's why we're here. Every Christian is called, like Mary, to do the will of God. And that's where we, too, like her, have to become God bearers. While you're here, you will receive the body and blood of the Lord. You become, therefore, a bearer of God out into the world. The importance of Mass for us is that we receive God's life into us, and we then go take that life out. And our yes, our amen, when the priest or the minister says the body of Christ is amen. Yes, you're saying, yes, I agree to that. And we then go out with the Lord into the world. And we're seeking to do God's will. But just like Mary, we often, our own sort of inner turmoil can be when we're wanting to do somebody else's will or our own will rather than God's will. That was what all the struggle in Mary. She doesn't immediately say yes to anything. Well, how can this be? And what about this? And we don't know how long that lasted. Whether the angel was just there for a short time, whether it went on a period, we don't know. While she internally struggled with that will, that's what we do. We can often struggle with the will of God. We do. We know that. That's part of our humanity. And for her, all her plans, all her hopes, all her dreams would have to change if she said this yes. And there would have been fears and there would have been worries, and they went on. And that's what we discover too in our own lives. Those worries, those fears, they're there all around us. And yet, through grace, she was able to say yes. Through grace, we also have said yes. In our baptism, often not when we were conscious, where we were conscious, but not realizing what was going on because we were probably little babies. Not always, but usually. But in our confirmation, it's our yes to God. And she found then the strength to rely on through the Lord. And that's what we've got to do too. But our saying yes this Christmas, what I'm hoping is that we can take that God, that Jesus, that's the heart of all our celebrations, and with the people that don't know, or the people that have no time for, or the people that have never even heard about Jesus and what it's all about. Because you'd be surprised how many people don't realize what the truth is about the Christmas festival. It's just like a commercial sort of razzmatazz, but what it's all about, they don't know. Maybe this Christmas, we've an opportunity will be there to bring them to what is this about? It's about God being born in history, but through Mary's yes to the Lord. And our response to his will should be the same too. Are we open to the will of God? Can we respond like Mary, let what you have said be done to me?